as natural as breathing. Let's open our Bibles to Psalms 139. I'm trying not to hold you too long tonight. Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24. If you have that, say amen. The psalmist said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts." And this is the reason he wants God to search him. "And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Let's pray. Father, we love you. I thank you for this wonderful Lord's Day. I thank you for the Spirit that I have felt all day. The mighty way that you moved this morning, I feel you here again tonight. I'm asking you to touch sick bodies, heal those that are battling sickness. I pray for those that are still lagging behind spiritually, that you'll set a fire upon them, strengthen them, let them know you love them, but by all means convict them, and that their hearts would not rest until all is right with you. Father, I pray for the pillars of this church, that they would understand the weight that they hold here, and that you would impress it upon them even greater than what they already understand, and that we would try that much harder to pray and to walk in the Spirit, and to be the men and women of God that you've called us to be. And Father, I'm asking you to help me tonight. I have no intention on trying to do anything in my own strength anymore. I'm here because I felt your leading to preach these verses. And so I'm asking that you do your wonderful work in impressing the heart, that the truth of your word can enlighten and sweep the citadels of our heart. And we'll pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen. Amen. You may be seated. David said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Search me, try me." I want you to know my heart, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I know I've been preaching a lot out of the book of Psalms lately, and it's been I read it on the 16th of November, so it's been a while. I guess what I'm saying is I've not been in this book since the 16th, outside of just these verses that God keeps laying on my heart, Psalms 37:4, Psalms 81:10, and just different places God has been dealing with me about. But I feel like He impressed these two verses up on my heart for some of you, and we are recording this, aren't we, Brother Corey? I would like for everybody in the church to have a copy of this message. Not that I think it's going to be good. Certainly it's not. But I believe that the Lord showed me some of your problems, and we'll be able to deal with those in these two verses. This is a powerful prayer. It's not your typical prayer. It's not a normal prayer. It's a very powerful prayer. And you got to understand here, we're reading the last two verses of this chapter. But David walks into these two chapters with an awesome presence, a feeling and awareness of God's omnipresence and His omnipotence. He says, "O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. In this whole chapter, David has this awareness. Evidently, the Lord was dealing with him at this particular moment that God sees and knows everything. And he comes into this prayer. This is a prayer for God to search him. A prayer for God to try him. And I really don't have enough time tonight to preach everything. And I doubt very seriously that I'm going to remember everything that I've had on my heart. But there's a few things that I would like to say tonight. This kind of prayer, it implies a few things. Number one, to pray this type of prayer, you have to acknowledge the omniscience of God. You have to know in your heart and mind that God does know all things. You see, this prayer is not offered so God will find out who David is. We already read here in the first couple of verses, he said, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. David said, God, you already know my heart. But David is saying, God, search me so I'll know me. Amen. God, search me so I'll know me. Now, the second thing that this passage implies, David believes that God is holy. David believes God is pure. He would not ask God to search him and to purify him if David didn't see God as a holy and pure God. Now, you need to take these things. I'm not just talking tonight. To be talking. I need you to register everything that I say tonight. The next thing that this passage implies is that God has got the means to wipe the slate clean. He's got the means to search. He's got the means to try. And David says, God, I come to you because you alone have this capability of searching my heart and trying this heart of mine thoroughly. I'll tell you something else this passage implies. It implies that David has a pure heart as far as his thoughts, his motives. I'll say it this way. David has no known sin in his life at this time. How do I know that was a stupid thing to pray? God, search me and try me. If you know for a fact you've got known sin in your life. If you're here tonight and you've not prayed this week, you've not sought the face of God, you've not loved God even enough to open up the Word of God or to listen to the Word of God, you don't have to go to God and say, search me and try me. You already know you got a problem. If you got a pack of Marlboros in your glove compartment, probably not a whole lot of need to say, God, search me and try me. Because you already know you got a problem. The very fact that David says, search and try, says, God, I want you to peel the cover back. It takes a real man and woman of God to pray this prayer. And I'm going to tell you why before it's over. You'll understand. Not only does it tell us that David doesn't have open sin in his life, but it tells us that David understands that men have to be perfect. They have to live perfected lives, not intellectually, not physically, but morally perfect lives. A life that seeks to please God. A life that upholds and adheres to the Word of God. You cannot uphold and adhere to the Word of God if you don't read the Word of God. Shout amen right there. David says, I realize God requires holiness. God requires purity. Else he would have no reason to pray this prayer. And I'd like for you to know that God requires holiness. God requires purity. Over and over again, he said, I am the Lord thy God. He said, I am holy. Be ye therefore holy. He carried it over into 1 Peter. I think it's 2 Peter 1, chapter 1. Is it 1:18 there maybe? Somewhere around that area. He reiterates it. Peter quotes from the Old Testament and said, Be ye holy, for I the Lord thy God am holy. David knows that God requires holiness out of his people. It makes me sick to my stomach to see people act like God doesn't require holiness. God requires everything in this book. David understands this. He understands that there's a requirement of holiness. There's a requirement of purity. And he says, God, search me. Try me. Probe inside me. Okay? He's trying to tell us a few things here tonight. This passage of Scripture, it implies that David is expecting God to do this. Not only does he have the capacity, but he's expecting God to do this probing work. This man here, David, he's praying really, he's praying some kind of prayer here. How many wants to pray this prayer tonight? How many wants to pray this prayer here tonight? Well, it's very important that you understand all that it entails before you pray it. And I'm going to preach a little while tonight. I may just talk like this. But I need you to know what all it entails. Because a lot of people pray this prayer and they don't know what they're praying. They really don't even know what they're praying. I want to say a few things. There's a special kind of person that needs to pray this prayer. Special kind of person. And I'd like to list a few implications of this verse. Where it would apply to your life if you're here tonight. I'm going to try to help you understand when you need to pray this kind of prayer. If you're in spiritual darkness tonight and your heart is faint, you need to pray this prayer. Search me. Oh God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. If you don't have a spirit of prayer upon you tonight, if you don't have a spirit of prayer upon you, you need to be praying this prayer because something's wrong. Something's wrong. I didn't say that you're walking around speaking in tongues all day. But there ought to be an inclination in our heart toward God. There ought to be something inside of us that longs for God. I was watching Brother Matney Friday night. I love him so dearly and he tickles me just watching him. But when he pulled out that remote control truck, I just about lost it. But I've never seen any more powerful of an illustration. He had that truck out there and he was talking about how the devil talks to us, you know. And the devil will say, go right. And he took that truck and shot it around to the right. And the devil will say, well, curse behind your mama's back. And he'll take that thing to the left. And he's just going on and on, you know. Don't pray or don't do this or don't do that. And listen to the wrong CD, listen to the wrong music. And he's just that remote control car everywhere he went to put it, it'd go that way. And the point that he came down to make was, he had Brother Donnie Johnson flip the truck off and set it back out on the floor. And he said, the reason that you're obeying everything the devil says is because there's something in you that's responding to something in the enemy. When you turn that off, the devil says, lie. No response. Well, I took the opposite side of that too. If you've got God in you, He's fully in control of your life, then there ought to be something inside of you connecting to God at all times. There ought to be something that desires Him, that seeks Him. But if you're here tonight and you don't have that desire, there's something inside that's wrong with you. If you're praying tonight and your prayer's not getting through, oh, it'd be a good time to pray this prayer right here. It's God's will to answer your prayer. Did you know that? Now, I'm not saying every time you say, Lord Jesus, He's going to pop out like a genie in a bottle and give you three wishes. I'm not saying that. But you know very well when the heavens are brass. You know very well when you pray over and over and over again and nothing happens. And you're not getting anywhere. You better start praying this prayer right here. Because something is wrong. When you lose your desire to go to the house of God. When you don't have any hunger to be in this church. And you dread to come here. Something is wrong with you. Something's wrong with your walk with God. When you've got to be pumped and primed and you've got to be forced to go to the house of God, there's something wrong with you. I was reading there in the book of Daniel. I'm going to probably preach sometime on men that aren't touched by the fire. If you can come to the house of God, night in, service out. Services like this morning, services like we've been having for weeks now, and you're not moved, and you can't get in. I see everybody getting in, worshiping, praying. I mean, if you're not feeling an overwhelming tongue-talking Holy Ghost power, if you've got any ounce of the Spirit of God, the least you can do is come up and lay hands on somebody else and pray for them. But when I see folk just sit back, they're not moved by the fire, they're not moved by the Holy Ghost, they're not touched by God, I know that there's something wrong inside. And if you want to debate this, I'll be glad to set you a chair out there. I'll set me a chair out here, and we will spar all night long. I wonder who's going to win that one. I got a strange feeling, I know. But the rebel says, yeah, are we coming after all that stuff tonight? Search me. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Brother Johnson, when you lose your desire to read this book, it's time to pray this prayer. It's time to go to God and say, Lord, search me. It's a natural state for a Christian to love to pray. Do you know that? When you have to make yourself pray, I didn't say just once, because there's times in our lives that we have to get up and pray when we don't feel like it. But when it becomes a natural course of things, and you have to force yourself, and you have to make a special effort to pray, you know what you're doing? You're praying from your lips, if even that. You're not praying from your heart. That's one of the reasons I'm trying to be careful about this prayer meeting, and I'm trying to fill it out. I don't need anybody in here on Thursday night offering up lip service. I need saints of God in this house that are going to come in here full of the Holy Ghost, full of love of God, full of the power of God, at least got a hunger for God and a thirst for God, and men and women that are going to pray from their heart and not just from their lips. When you have to force yourself to pray over and over. Now, I want to backtrack here. I just bypassed the whole section. If you're not praying, I ain't even talking to you. You're not even saved. I'm going to say that one more time. I'm not even talking to you. If you don't pray, you don't seek the face of God, you're not even saved. You're not even saved. Man don't pray, man don't read the Word of God, man don't have any communion with God whatsoever. What is the difference between you and a good moral sinner out there? If there's a such thing. There's no such thing. But you understand the terminology that I'm using. I know men that don't cuss. I know men that don't cheat. I know sinner men that would kill you in a heartbeat just about it if you accused them of lying. What's the difference between somebody that comes to the house of God and doesn't pray, doesn't worship God, doesn't care about God, always trying to find something to sneak around and do? What's the difference between them and a good old moral sinner? I'm going to tell you the difference. One's a hypocrite and one's not. So I'm not even talking to you tonight. You need to get on these altars and get right with God. If that's your case, if that's your lot. I'm talking to those tonight that have a prayer life. I'm talking to those tonight that come to the house of God because they love God. And they care about God. But there's something missing. There's something lacking. There's something that's void. There's some reason that they're not feeling a connection with heaven like they should. You see, a Christian should be able to pray and claim the promises of God, and God step out and say, all right, you met the condition, here's the promise. It should be that way. And that's the way God wants it to be. God wants to show off, if I can put it in those terms, not necessarily in our terms, but God wants to glorify Himself, show us who He is through His people. And the more He blesses, and the more He helps, and the more He strengthens, and the higher He lifts us, the more glory God gets. The saints of God, when we get to a place that God is not using us and helping us, we need to pray Psalms 139, 23, 24. When God's not blessing your endeavors, it's time to pray this prayer. I want to tell you something. I've always believed this, but I took it to heart. Now, some of y'all get mad at me when I preach, but I don't get mad at myself, because everything I've said tonight, I've applied to my own heart heavily the last 2 months. I've just looked back at the church. I've looked back at the spirit of things. I don't like it. I don't like the coolness. I don't like the callousness. And so I resolved in my mind, I have failed terribly in the things that I have talked to God about doing, but I decided I'm going to turn the heat up. I'm going to seek the face of God more than I've ever sought the face of God. And we're going to see this thing spin, because God cannot fail me. And I'm seeing God work. And it's not just been me. There's others in this house that have been seeking the face of the Lord. Others in this house that have saw the same thing and said, it's time to turn it up. I'm telling you, God wants to bless us. It brings glory to the Father. It brings glory to the Son. It brings glory to the Holy Ghost. And you know what Jesus said in John 15? He talked to us and told us that God wanted to bring forth more fruit in us. He wanted to purge us that we'd bring forth more fruit. Why? For the glory of the Father. For the glory of the Father. And that's what I've been praying. Purge me. Purge me. And that brings us right back to our text here. It brings us right back to our text. Purge me, Lord, that I can bring forth more fruit. Why? Not so I can fill up a schedule of revivals. But I've been praying, God, that I could glorify You. That I could glorify You. When God doesn't bless your endeavors, it's time to pray this prayer. So I went to God and I said, search me, O God. And know my heart. Try me. Try me and know my thoughts. Now my precious wife, I asked her today and she passed this test. She passed it. When I say, search me, O God, and know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? What means of searching? I don't know about everybody here, but most of us are going to think the Spirit of the Lord searching and probing. And God does search the Spirit. The probing hand of the Spirit of God does sweep the house and deal with hearts and reveal to us things. He does do that. He uses His truth to reveal things to us. He uses His law to batter the walls. He does that. I'm going to tell you something He uses maybe even more so than those things. And it's called providence. And this is what I come to preach tonight. Some of you are praying, Lord, try me. I've heard you say it. I want more of God. I'll do anything. I've heard every one of you say it. And if I've talked to you at all tonight, if I've listed, if I've called your number, you need to listen to me. God uses providence to try us. Now, He may search us with His Spirit, but when David said, try me, he meant something totally and completely different. God will allow things that come into our lives to try us. We were talking about Oral Roberts today, and it was just on my heart while he began to speak, and some of these other men, these great faith-healing evangelists, and men that had really had the goods at one time, and the power of the Holy Ghost would work on them. And I just got to thinking, you know, you watch them, and you got one climbs up in a tower and says, if you don't give me X amount of money, I'm going to die. You got some that, I mean, wanted this, and I mean, I heard where A.A. Allen told Leroy Jenkins, said, you know, when you shut the revival down, when you shake the people on their heads and no money falls out. Well, that's not how A.A. Allen got started. A.A. Allen got started by locking himself up in a closet and saying, I'm not coming out until you speak to me and tell me why the signs of God are not in my life. That's what happened. But something happened. Money. The love of money. Mammon. And a thought just occurred to me. What would have happened to those men if they had passed that test? You see, those men were in the pulpit preaching and they were praying, try me. And God did. It's easy to talk about people. You know, man, look at that car they drive. Man, look at all that furniture they got in their house. That'd be easy for me to talk about because I don't have the means to do it. But the real test would be when I had $10,000 in my pocket. You see? We can talk about evangelists and preachers and say, man, they think they're a real showboat. And I've heard a little whippersnapper say that when nobody in the world would preach them. But let them get about 40 revivals and see how they act. And I thought to myself, if A.A. Allen could have overcame the popularity, if some of these other men who had fame and fortune and power, had they handled that just right, where would have God taken them? Instead of letting it to corrupt them, they allowed God to try them. And at the first sign of greed and corruption, they sought the face of God. God tries us. You see, I'm watching some of you guys and you're going through things. And some of the things that you're going through is because you've prayed this prayer and you didn't even know what you were praying. Your children, you put it this way. You just think the children. God's got His hand in some of this. When that impatience rises up in you, it's not time. I mean, you may need to spank the child. But it's also time to go to God and say, Lord, I'm recognizing something in my life that's not of You. You see, you prayed, try me, and you thought God was going to do it on the altar. But God said, I'm going to do it in your living room. God said, I'm going to do it on the work side. And so he sends you some guy that won't work. And he tests your patience. And he tries you. And he sees what's in your heart and in your mind. I've seen God put men in financial straits to see if they would doubt, see if they would lack faith in God. But instead of them taking it as a trying experience and recognizing, man, I'm on a test here and I'm seeing some things in me that aren't right. They act like it's an attack of the devil. They act like it's the end of the world. Saints of God, we've got to recognize God's hand in these things. I'm going to tell you something else. Some of these things you're being tried with, they're not going to go away until you pass the test. Sooner we pass the test, Brother Matthew, the quicker God's going to give us another one. I need all this to soak in tonight because the Lord dealt with me heavily about this. Some of us are going through things and we've attributed to the enemy, and the whole time God's saying, it's not the devil, you dummy. It's me. I'm trying to teach you something. You know, you're standing there at the Walmart checkout line. And I agree with what Brother Green said this morning. I don't know. I'm going to study out the semantics of that. But a man's got to have some grit in him. He's got to have the capacity to stand up and say, you will not do that. If you want to call that temper, that's fine. But like he said, you've got to have temperance. You've got to be able to control that. And if you've got an out of control anger, you need to know about that. So God will let things happen in your life. And when you flip out, you need to say, oh God, try me. Search me. I see something in there that's not of you. And you say, I just flunked that test. And you need to get serious about it. Because you have a disconnect between you and God. I also wanted to say earlier, if you don't have a hunger for the baptism in the Holy Ghost, something's wrong with you. You need to pray this. You need to pray that. When I say a hunger, you ought to hunger for the Holy Ghost more than you do for that food in the morning. For that food at night. As a matter of fact, you ought to have a hunger in you so insatiable that you say, God, whatever it takes, I want the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to go one step further. For us here that claim the baptism in the Holy Ghost, we should be so hungry for the gifts of the Spirit and the signs of God to operate and work in our churches. And if we don't have the same hunger for God, I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. If we don't have the same hunger for the gifts of the Spirit and the signs of God to operate in our church as we had to get saved, as we had to get the baptism in the Holy Ghost, we need to go back to Psalms 139, 22, 23, 24 here and say, God, search me because there's something in there that's not right. I know you'd rather me preach on TV tonight, but most of y'all don't have one, so it wouldn't do me much good. I don't know anybody that's got one. Search me. Search me. Ah, here's you one. How many claims to be a steward of what God's give you? Would you like me to tell you the difference between a steward and an owner? Now, if you're not just a steward with everything God's give you, you got to go back to Psalms 139, 23, 24, because you're in bad shape. If you claim ownership of everything you have, you're in bad shape. You need to search God, search my heart. Now, a steward is someone that takes care of his master's things. All right? If I had $10,000, I said, here, Brother Johnson, I want you to take care of this. I want you to invest it. I want you to put it on a CD here. Get as much as you can. You're a steward. You're not an owner. Okay? How many claims to be a steward of the things God's given them? Well, we got at least a couple. I'm going to tell you how to know for a fact. If you lose everything you've got, who are you going to say took the loss? Are you going to go around, oh, I lost everything, you hypocrite? It was never God's in the first place. God will take things from you. He will snatch them right out of your hands so fast. And we go, oh, I'm being punished. God says, no, you're not. I'm testing you. I'm trying you. I want you to see what's in you. I want you to know that there's some things in you that's not right. Now, I realize that this is real good holiness preaching. I realize this is stout as can be. I know that it's as tough as it can be. But I'm real serious about revival around here. I'm real serious about it. And I'm real serious about you coming to the place that God can use you fully and completely. Now, I don't know. I didn't see much response tonight about ownership and stewardship. And it's easy to become owner of what you have. I've got possession of it. I've got control of it. Saints of God, the Lord will take it all from you. He will strip you down where you're living with Brother Green's or my house in a homeless shelter somewhere. You don't think He will? He loves you just that much. See, God don't think of things like we think of things. We look at life as this. We must survive. God looks at life like this. You must glorify Me. What I give you, are you using it for the kingdom of God? God's idea of life and our idea is two totally different things. God blesses us to bring glory to the Father. But we're so hungry for more, 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 more. And we don't realize that we're being tested and tried every day. And everything we do. We've got to get serious about this. Real serious. Because God is very serious. So David prayed, "Search me, O God." Well, I guess I'm going to have to preach another hour now. Praise the Lord. Amen. When the preaching of the Word of God goes forth from this pulpit, if your heart's not hungry for that, you need to pray this prayer right here. Search me, O God. Know my heart. He says, try me. Know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. You notice what he called it? He called it a wicked way. We call it mistakes. We call it disposition. We call it habit. We call it mannerism. The Holy Ghost said it's wicked as hell. If I can use that as reverently as I can put it. I don't know anything more wicked than the devil. Wicked as the devil. Try me. If there's any of these things in my heart, God, I need You to purge it. We don't like this. We like holding on to these things. I know that sounds crazy. I've been in this too long. I have watched people weep and cry. They need the victory. They want the victory. But when they get up from that altar, they still hold on to the very thing that's breaking them down. Breaking them down. And I can run through this word. I can take you from chapter to chapter to chapter. And I can show you over and over again where men of God cried out and said, God, probe my heart. David said, there's something wrong and I can't see it. That's what he's praying here. Try me, show me, search me, because no, I'm not cutting my hair. I'm not wearing makeup. I'm not wearing jewelry. I'm not going to the theater. I'm not doing these things, but there's something wrong with my connection with God. And David said, I'm grieved, and I must know what it is. And some don't even have that desire. You know, when my wife and I can't even remember the last time there was anything between us, just to be honest. There's been times in our marriage that I could tell someone right. Happens quite frequently with the Christians, with the saints. They're dealing with things in their mind, I'm dealing with things in my mind. I think he's mad at me, he thinks I'm mad at him, and we just go to each other and say, now, is there something between us? And we get that wiped out. And I've seen some of you in tears when you came to me. Brother Lamb, have I done something to offend you? I just laughed. Lord, no. Lord, no. Nothing. But you love me so much and cared about that fellowship so much, you could hardly even enjoy a service. I had a man, he said, Brother Lamb, I've been trying to talk to you for months. He says, killing me. He said, I made up my mind if I couldn't talk to you tonight, I was driving all the way to Dover. And I thought, now, Lord, that's a friend. That's a man that I want to be around. How much more should it be when we go to talk to God and the heavens are brass? I'm not in a real hurry tonight. I want you to know that, and I'll let you go in plenty of time. But we got problems, and they're deep, and they're hidden. David talked about hidden sins. There are things in our life that are not so hidden, but they have become part of our life for so long, they've almost become normal. And a lot of times we don't even consider them wrong. But when we go to the altar and things are not open between us and God, when there's not a hunger between us and God, when I don't have a thirst for Him, I don't have, you know, the Word of God said, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do you know what that means about us if we're not hungering and thirsting after righteousness? It means there's something wrong with us when we don't want to be filled. There ought to be a hunger in us right now. Right where you're sitting, at this very moment, there ought to be a search in your heart. Anything. God will try you. I've seen people say, God, I'll do anything. God said, okay, do this. I meant anything but that. I've heard people say, God, I love it with all my heart, and then He would send a little lady by, or a young man by their way. And they fall. And they falter, and they stumble, and they're not what they one time were. And those kind of people must pray, search me, O God. Try me. Something's blocking. There's a cloud settled over me. A Holy Ghost-filled Christian ought to be able to pray in tongues every now and then. Am I allowed to preach that? A Holy Ghost-filled Christian, I'm not one of these that says you got to speak in tongues every day. I can't because I don't every day. Maybe I should. And if God showed me, I'll come back and amend this message. There's been times I've walked through long, dark valleys. And I barely felt God. But it wasn't time to throw in the towel. It was time to say, search me. And God said, I am. I'm trying you now. To see if you'll hold. To see if your faith will waver. I'm testing you. How many's hearing me tonight? We've got to open our minds. We've got to open our minds because life isn't just life. Life is controlled by God. He has us in His heart. He has us in His mind. He thinks about us. He's mindful of us. And the providences of life are there to help us, not hurt us. God is not trying to hurt you tonight. God is trying to build you. He's trying to lift you. And instead of you getting mad at everybody around you, instead of you fighting and warring and thrashing and banging, it's time to submit to the hands of the potter and say, God, whatever it takes, you show me what's in my life. I want to be right with you. Let me tell you what will happen when you submit to the hands of the potter. He will find marred places in you. I don't know anybody that I couldn't pick apart. Brother Matt and I was talking about that the other night. I don't know anybody that I couldn't find something. Something. If I looked hard enough. But the thing about it is we're too prone to do that. When honestly we should be looking into this. And say, Father, help me not to look at her. Help me to see me. Search me. You notice David said that, Brother Johnson. He didn't say, Lord, search David Lamb. He didn't. David didn't say, now, Lord, search Jason Tickle and tell me what's in him. He didn't do that, Brother Scott. David said, search me. Search me. I like what David said. I think Psalms 51, I think it is. It's verse 10, maybe. I preached on that some other night, a few nights ago, exhorted on it. David said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Create a clean heart in me, O God. Renew the right spirit within me. Let me make sure I'm right about that. He said, cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and renew me with a right spirit. With a free spirit, rather. Listen here, this is the reason why. David said, then I will teach transgressors thy ways. and sinners shall be converted unto thee. You know what David's saying? David's saying, it's not about me. God, I need this done in me, but I want it done for the right motives. I can't preach enough about motives around here, because it's something that's very rarely ever touched on. And most of you spent most of your Christian lives and never heard motives preached about. But you can do the right thing for the wrong reason, and it's a sin. I'm going to say it again. You can do the right thing for the wrong reason, and it is a sin. And I'm going to take it a little further, and you're not going to like this. But if we're going to pray this prayer in Psalms 139, it's got to be for the right reason. It cannot be so I can be holy, and I can be seen as a holy man, and I can lay hands on the sick, and I can, and I can, and I can. That's what the devil said, I can. But it's got to be God creating me, then I will bring transgressors to you and bring sinners to you for the glory of God the Father. I'm going to tell you, I'll snatch you out of them trials so fast you won't even be able to say, what? I thought I was in big trouble. God said, no, you was in a big trial. Did you ever think about what the trial is? They're trying you, man. You're on the witness stand. They're trying you. Seeing what you got there. That's what Job said, try me. Try me. Like gold and fire. How am I going to come out the other side? You see, we don't like the flames. You can stand across the house. I feel liberty. I feel like I'm done. I've not been playing around when I preach. I'm just going to share it. Well, maybe I won't. I don't guess that's probably any of your business. That's just between me and the Lord. I'm going to say this. I'm not coming to this pulpit in my own strengths anymore. I'm not coming in here with my own talents anymore. I'm just going to come in here with a heart full of His Word and full of prayer, full of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to let the chips fall where they fall, because it's not going to be me talking in this place. If I open up a passage of Scripture, it's going to be because God gave it to me. Not because I'm just going to fill the pulpit tonight. I can't promise you that I'm even going to preach every service. I might exhort and say something. I mean, take a text. If I don't have none, Brother Scott, I ain't going to preach. Before I came, I'm just going to preach anyway. No, not anymore. Not anymore. God's trying to speak to us tonight. And He's trying to take us deeper than we've ever been before. We like this patty cake Christianity. We do, if I can call it that. We like this kind of Christianity. Everything's just touchy-feely. Touchy-feely. And we want everything easy. But I want you to beware tonight. When you pray this prayer in Psalms 139, I want you to know what it entails. He's going to search you. But I think maybe even more so than that, what I need to convey to you tonight is, some of you right now are being searched. Some of you are being tried. And it may take more than a day to pass this test. But you have to get a grasp on this. God will try you with providence. He will cause you to lose a job to see if your faith will waver. And you chalk it down with the devil, did it? I believe God doesn't get frustrated. Well, the Bible says vexing the Holy Spirit, grieve the Holy Spirit, straighten the Holy Spirit, which basically means frustrate, so maybe so. Not frustrated like you and I do, but He gets frustrated with us, evidently. Because He's trying to help us and we reject it. And if you pray this kind of prayer, it implies that you're willing to accept His testing, His tryings. Father, we come to You tonight in the name of Jesus. I've delivered everything that I felt You've given me. I'm not real concerned, Father, about the shout tonight. We've done a lot of that lately. And I love it, God. I pray we shout before this service is over. I want more of it. I want to shout and rejoicing, worshiping church. But You showed me very plainly, some here are going through testings and trying simply because they've prayed, search me, out of an honest heart, because they love You and they want You to try them. But maybe, just maybe, they didn't understand what all that entails. I pray for that mother tonight that instead of her flipping out on those children, I pray for us fathers as well, including myself especially. Instead of us lifting our voice in anger and lifting our voices in patience, perhaps we could smile within our hearts and say, thank you, God, for testing me, showing me. Now, Father, you help me with this child. Because if I can't do it in my own strength, I need you to help me. I pray for these men and women that work in the secular fields, that their eyes are open continuously, perpetually looking for the testing, probing, searching of your Spirit and also providence. Some are in financial straits. You showed me plain as I could see it today. It's a test. You're trying. Will they overcome this doubt? Will they overcome this? And then there are life occurrences. There are times that sicknesses come upon us. And then you use that. Not that you brought it upon us, but you use that. And you test us to see what we have within us. Do we doubt you? Do we lack faith? And Father, of course, you never send a sinner out. You never call somebody to backslide. But Father, I have seen your providential workings when we've had family leave the house of God. And then we're tried. You use it as an opportunity to test us. Do we hold faith? And Father, there's a thousand other places I'm certain tonight that you're testing and trying in areas that I don't even know. I pray that you'd search us, try us. That we would know ourselves inside and out. Let us see us as you see us. And see if there be any evil, wicked way in us. Let us see it as wicked. Let us see it as evil. Not just a bad disposition. But let us see it as it is. Isaiah said that, in the book of Isaiah, you said that our iniquities are separated between you and us. That you've hid your face from us. That's the only thing that comes in between us where you'll not hear and we cannot feel your presence. Sin separates. And oh, how wicked anything is that comes between you and us. And let us recognize it as such. And Father, I pray because this message tonight was for the saints. It's for those that are struggling, those that have issues they're dealing with and the heavens have been brass and they can't get through. It's because something's wrong deep and you're trying to show them, you're probing. And I pray instead of them getting mad, instead of getting irritated, that their hearts are molded, humble, yielded. And they say, further, God, further, probe further, show me. To the cross I go. I will crucify and eradicate this old sorry flesh. Father, don't give up on us. We're here because we love you tonight. These people love you. They care about you. These people pray and they seek your face. But Father, you're trying to take us into a place where we're praying beyond our lips. We're offering you worship, the sacrifice of praise coming from a heart of love, a heart that's been in fellowship continuously with you. And Father, we'll be very careful to give you the glory. Somebody shout amen. Psalms 139. 23, 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Your thoughts. That's where it all starts. You know that? Your thoughts. Here. You know, I've been praying, Brother Jason, saying, God, help me to bring my thoughts into captivity. The obedience of Christ. I get worried about stuff that's never going to happen. Amen. I do. And it torments my mind, Brother Scott. And I think about it and I take it into prayer with me. And I say, God, help me. Focus. And David said, try my thoughts. What are your thoughts on tonight? I could preach all night long, but I believe the Holy Ghost is going to finish this up for me. For him, he's his anyway. I believe God's going to probe this house, and I pray that this message goes with you tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and you search your heart and you find anything is separating between you and God, it's time for it to go. Let's gather around these altars and pray.
Faces are going to shine, countenances are going to shine like the sun. People are going to look at these Christians and say, "I want that. What do you have?" And we say, "Oh, it's the triune God of heaven. He can transform everyone." God, please continue to grow my heart. Please continue.
I wasn't preaching to a bunch of sinners tonight.
I was preaching to those that hunger for you. But they have something there that has been there. They know it's there. They just don't know what it is. And now you've shown us that there is a way that we can petition you. And you will show us that you're trying to show us. Help us to recognize our debt. Help me, Lord, to recognize. believe every hole in this church, God. Every Baptist church, God. Every Methodist church. Oh, raise up some preachers that will preach the truth to them in those churches. Compromise and worldliness is taking a hold of the assemblies of God, the churches of God. Raise up some men in those churches that will preach the fire. Oh, the hammer of God. Turn the people, Lord. Sweep this church, Lord. Every church, your body as a whole. God, I believe we're coming down to the last days, the end times. We don't have time to play around. It's time to get busy. It's time to bring glory to the kingdom. Use us, God. Use us. Let the church